B-Pod Studios.
The Mike Missinelli Show. The Fanatic.
Oh, it's the 5 o'clock hour. Yes, big 5 o'clock hour. Brought to us by Guided Door and Window. Guided Door and Window would like to acknowledge the health and safety of our community remains at the forefront of our minds. And together, we'll all get through this difficult time and come out of it stronger than ever. So, a couple of newsy items here. The Sixers are giving fans ticket refunds and rollover options. So, that's good. The season ticket holders, partial plan holders, group package holders, we'll have to, they'll roll over the tickets in the final 10 scheduled regular season games into next season, even though no games have been canceled at this stage.
Yeah, they're giving them the option because.
Yes.
Yeah.
Second option, season ticket holders, it's simple, the cash refund. So there you go. All right. Also, Thursday night, NFL schedule comes out for 2020. Big 17 game.
17 week
season.
Yeah.
So the big schedule, Thursday night, 8 o'clock on the NFL Network.
Yeah, they're going to drag it out.
And then also newsy, Dana White, this idiot, they're going forth with the big show.
Saturday.
UFC 249. And he was interviewed by Sports Illustrated. And he says... He says this when he was asked, somebody does have to be first. Why you? And Dana White said, it's not even, oh, I have to be the first one. I didn't want to stop putting on events at all. I wanted to keep right on going. We'll figure this thing out. If this thing is that deadly, it's going to get us no matter where we hide or what we do. Oh, I'm triggered.
Vic, essentially.
I'm triggered.
I guess.
This guy's
you could just
more...
cross on red lights.
Right, like.
Come on. Seriously?
Just because it's super deadly and contagious doesn't mean you go looking for it or put yourself in a situation where you could potentially get it.
It's going to get us no matter where we are. So if you isolate in your house, it's going to find a way, bust through the front door, and leak in there. Yeah. Come on, Dana. It's ignorant.
Yeah, he never wanted to stop, and then he's chastising other sports for stopping, thinking they should just keep going, and...
That's some manhead.
Yeah.
Back to the phones, Tom in Northeast. Tom, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Tom.
Hi, Mike.
What's up, Tom?
Before I get to my Jordan point, and this goes back a few weeks, I must have missed it, in your Field of 64, whatever happened to Sons of Anarchy?
Sons of Anarchy, were they in it, Tyrone?
I don't think they made
it. I think they may have made it, but they lost in the first round.
Oh, that's hard to believe they didn't even make it.
Yeah, I think they made it. They were out early.
Because Kenny Seagal should be, like, the most valuable player just for both roles, for Peggy Bundy and then Biker Mom.
Yeah, I didn't watch Sons of Anarchy, but a lot of people had some good things to say about it.
Okay. Now, on Jordan, first of all, start with this. Jesse Helms is probably the most... one of the most disgusting human beings ever.
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Michael Jordan is not a good man. He's a great basketball player. He's not a good man. LeBron James is not only a good man, but he's a better basketball player than Michael Jordan.
Well, that's up for argument. It's the age-old argument that either you're on one side or the other.
I know. I try to convince you of this. It's better to be a big, great player than be a smaller, great player. It shouldn't be that hard.
Well, they were only a couple inches. LeBron was 6'8", and Michael's 6'6".
Yeah, but LeBron is going to...
LeBron does more on a basketball floor all around than Michael Jordan does. But Michael Jordan was just amazing, the way he got the ball to the basket, the way he made medium-range jump shots. I mean, he was pure.
He was. But I guess I'll have to settle with the fact that LeBron does more, and therefore he would be my first pick.
That's fair. Sons of Anarchy did not make the field. I got it right here. I'm reviewing it. It was considered, but it didn't make the 32 on the drama side.
Yeah, it was.
It was under consideration. I remember the committee arguing vociferously from Sons of Anarchy.
Oh, did they?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
If faced off against the NIT yeah, finals.
I had a horrible shouting match with my Miro on that.
Yeah, so I can only imagine. Yeah.
Yes. Hank in Ardmore. Hank, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Hank.
Yeah, Mikey Miss.
What's up, Hank?
How you doing? I'm 72 years old, Mikey Miss.
God bless you, brother. You sound chipper.
I went to Overbrook, and then I went to Cheney State, one of the few white people to graduate from Cheney State back in the day.
Wow.
1973. But, Mikey Miss, I got to tell you, you are downgrading the black people of North Carolina by saying they need Michael Jackson to get out and vote. Now,
Michael Jordan, it would be.
Michael Jordan. Yeah, I would
Michael
say
Jackson
every
was
black
the entertainer.
In North Carolina knew Jesse Helms was 100% racist. You're telling me they needed somebody to tell them to get out and vote?
Well, you heard the guy say that a lot of black people were reluctant to go to the polls. So if that were the case, then maybe Michael Jordan, like something Michael Jordan said, would have prompted other people to go to the polls. Okay. You can't discount
I'm
that.
I'm Jewish, Mike. I'm Jewish.
Yeah.
If there was a politician running and he came out and was 100% against the Jews, I wouldn't need Sandy Koufax.
Yeah, I get it. But guess what? You don't live in the same circumstances that black people fear going to the polls. So, like, there's you're not including part of it.
Not for nothing. They need to step up then.
Well, not for nothing. It's easy for you to judge being a white man.
Well, I'm a wet, but I've been around black people.
I understand,
life,
so but you're not black, and you never had a fear of going to the polls.
Okay, I got one more thing. If you let me
yes,
finish,
sir.
Mike.
Uh-huh.
LeBron James, now great player. I don't know where he became such a good man. Now, whether you're a Trump man or against Trump or for Trump, he came out headlines. LeBron called Trump a clown. You can't call the president a clown. That's not right.
Why not?
Well,
if the shoe fits, why don't you call him a clown? Has there ever been a president that would fit that description more than this? Of course, he had it much worse than Lincoln, this guy. So I got to make concessions. You know, heard say that. Yeah. Except for the fact that Lincoln got shot in the head. I guess he's had it worse. Greg in West Philly, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Greg.
Hey, guys, good show.
What's up, Greg?
I do follow up on the Jordan piece, but it's not even about the comment. It's not even about the Jesse Helms thing. Sociologically, man, he failed, in my opinion, as African-American, failed our community in total. And I'll tell you why. I remember growing up, and Devon might remember this as well, that back in the day, everybody had a Michael Jackson.
It's Tyrone, not the Devon comes on after.
Had a Michael Jackson jacket and a pair of Jordans. Well, around 52nd Street and other urban areas, kids were getting beat up, robbed, stabbed for these sneakers. Never came out and said nothing. However, you had Stephon Marbury and Shaquille O'Neal putting sneakers out. One went to Walmart, the other went to Payless when it was open to make sneakers affordable to the community. This guy never spoke out against.
I remember that vividly, that he didn't speak out.
And he didn't
lower the price, but they were high tech sneakers.
Hey Mike, watch this though. In the midst of our national emergency today, the Jordan Retro 13 has just dropped last week for $230 a piece.
Uh-huh. Well, you know,
that's all you need to know.
It's still marketable. I found it really interesting that he wore the original Jordans in that last game that he thought was going to be at the Garden.
Yeah,
and his feet were bleeding.
Killing fools.
Because the product did evolve into a really smooth, comfortable product. It was just pricey.
Yeah, I have no problem. If wasn't a quarantine, this would be the time of year where I would start wearing my Jordans, but I'm not wasting them during quarantine.
Yeah.
But he could have came out and said, hey, kids, like, it wasn't that he should have lowered the price, because that wasn't really his call to make. He should make all the money
his call to make.
It would have been.
He could have made the call.
What I'm saying, I don't even think he should have lowered the price.
All right.
But what he should have said was, perhaps, hey, kids, there are more important things in the world than my sneakers.
Right.
Let's not kill each other over sneakers.
Yeah.
You could say that alienating your people. Because in a lot of those neighborhoods, kids were taking their whole allowance summer or cutting grass or whatever it may be, their whole summer, into buying a pair of Jordans, and then somebody wanted to take it from him. That was an issue that he could have spoke out on, and he still would have sold sneakers. But he refuses to say anything about anything.
No, he doesn't.
Anything.
And, judging from his attitude on things, I wonder if he hates, because he uses hate a lot. I wonder if he hates Stephon Marbury for trying to show him up with that. Because that's basically what it was aimed at.
Yeah, and Shaq, too. And what's funny is, if you go into the Walmart now, because Shaq's are still in there,
mm-hmm.
at a quick glance, you can't tell the difference between Shaq's shoes and the top shoes out there.
Yeah.
They're well made.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They're well made. That was noble by Shaq. And I'm not a Shaq fan, but that was pretty noble by Shaq.
All right, let's go Bill in Chester. Bill, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Bill.
Mike, how you doing? What's going on, Mike? How you doing?
Hey, Bill, how you doing?
How you doing? I'm calling. I hear everybody about the Michael Jordan, and I'll be honest with you, I wish the man would have spoke up more. But I will say this. We live in the black community is also a thing, too, that you could be as big as you want, but you got to watch how you step, because the rumor is they could tear you down at any time. Now, this man wouldn't have got to be who he was. He would have still been a great player and everything, but I understand he got a tread. And the people comparing him to LeBron, LeBron does some great things, but you can't compare great things in 2015 back to a black man from down south in North Carolina in 1987. I wanted to get your opinion. 25 years. Like, I think because Jordan moved the way he moves, somebody like LeBron can come out and speak more. I wanted to get you, Tyrone, and Natalie's opinion on that one.
Well, listen, I got one issue in front of me, right? I'm not asking him to go around the country and campaign for civil rights. I'm going in his home damn state in the year 1990, where it's flat out disgraceful that a racist was still allowed to hold office for that many years. And maybe he could have done something about it by saying 10 words. Now, I'm sorry. I'm not going to absolve him.
No. I don't absolve him. But you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't 100% understand, but I understand a little bit, Mike. It's
1990, Bill. 1990.
Yeah, Mike, Mike, you talking about 1990 like it's 2010.
No,
Mike,
but I'm saying, shouldn't we expect progression in 1990? Like 664 was the Civil Rights Act. Now, think about how many years down the road that is. 1990. This racist is still allowed to win elections in North Carolina. The highest profile guy in North Carolina, if not the nation, can say something to turn that result around, and he didn't do it.
True. But, Mike, you ain't going to want to hear this. He was consistent. He never spoke on anything.
Yeah, that doesn't mean anything to me. Okay? Because to me, he had an obligation to speak on one thing. One.
And Bill Cosby, who we kind of already not a huge fan of right now, in 1990 did speak out. He did speak on issues in 1990. It wasn't like it was only, they were only asking Jordan. There were other, you didn't think Bill Cosby had anything to lose while the Cosby Show was still on the air? I'm pretty sure Bill Cosby had something to lose in 1990. He spoke out. He was a prominent person.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like, I don't understand why everybody wants to give this guy a free pass on everything.
It was a close election, which makes it even worse that he may have been able to nudge it over the top. Let's go Taron and Clayton. Taron? Is it Taron?
Hey, it's Taron.
Taron, how you doing?
All right, how you doing, Mike?
Good.
First of all, I just appreciate you bringing up issues like this, because a lot of people in your line of work don't like to touch on things that they view as, controversial. But anyway, on this Jordan thing, I always resented the fact that he wouldn't speak on social issues. I think he was a coward for not doing it. Somebody of his economic status and of his celebrity has a responsibility to speak on social issues. And I think it's a slap in the face to people that came before him back in the civil rights era that gave much more than you can put a price on. People gave their lives for social issues. For this guy just to not speak out on social issues because he don't want to lose some money or whatever his rationale was, I think is a slap in the face. And I always resented that.
Well, I couldn't agree with you more. You know that there was an infamous ad that ran that year. That was produced by Helms, who actually pushed racism in his campaign to get elected. The ad was a pair of white hands on a screen, and the voiceover said, "You wanted this job, but because of a law, they had to give it to a minority." That was an ad. It was visible to Michael Jordan. It was certainly visible to his mother.
Yeah, well, the reality was Michael Jordan did what he wanted to. If Michael, there was nothing. Michael Jordan was bigger than the league at that time. So whatever Michael Jordan wanted to do and whatever he wanted to speak on, he could have done that and nothing would have happened to him. He chose not to because he wasn't interested in it. That's the reality. So for people to keep giving him a pass because they like, I loved him as a basketball player, but the reality was the dude was a coward.
Well, that's what I think is swaying. Like, a lot of people don't want to go there and chip away the mindset they have of hero worship with Michael Jordan. And I understand that. It's difficult to confront stuff like this. It's going to blow your gig, right? I get it. All right, let's talk some football issues with the man we welcome in every Tuesday. They got a little heated last Tuesday on this particular issue on the drafting of one Jalen Hurts. He courses Sal Palantonio, the world's greatest NFL reporter for ESPN. He's on the Comcast Business Hotline, Beyond Fast. Hello, Sal. How are we doing today?
Michael, we're doing okay. You know, we're doing okay. Obviously, the draft was a huge success for the NFL and its broadcast partners, and obviously the audience across the world loved it. It was the most shared social media event since the Super Bowl. And, you know, people were into it for a lot of reasons. The rest of the landscape, of course, was barren, so there's that. But because I think it showed people a couple of things that, you know, you can come out of this and you can do your thing if you do it the right way and the safe way. The fact that a lot of the broadcast was dedicated to first responders, nurses and doctors, and to those who have suffered the most, I think was really important. And I think it showed the other sports leagues that, you know, if you want to get together and do something, that the audience will respond and that people want it. They want it back if you can do it safely and in the right way. So I think it really set a big example for everybody.
All right. What the schedule is going to be released Thursday night, 2020 schedule. Everybody's excited about that. We always like to go through that. But realistically, behind the scenes, what can possibly happen? The Dolphins had mentioned some kind of a plan where they could have 15,000 people in the stadium. Where is this progressing?
Well, it's progressing on a lot of different fronts, and a lot of people are trying to come up with contingency plans and be flexible. Here's what I know, Michael. They are going to put out the 2020 schedule. It's going to have a full slate of games as if they're going to play them, and they're going to play them on time and with fans. So they are going to plan for the best case scenario, hope for the best case scenario, and then, of course, plan for any kind of contingencies that come up. We're still 18 weeks away. 18 weeks is a long way. Things can go right, and things can go definitely wrong. We just don't know, right? Of course.
Yeah.
We don't know. First of all, I think everybody's looking at the experiment with South Korean baseball, Taiwanese baseball, Japanese baseball. Major League Baseball in the United States is next. I think that's the next thing and the first thing that will happen before the NBA. I think the MLB will try to get together and they'll try to hold some kind of modified spring training and then a modified season after that. I think it's important for Major League Baseball to show that they can do it. And then maybe the NBA follows suit. Now, it's pretty interesting what's happening behind the scenes financially, right? The NBA, because they have the force majeure clause in their contract, and you as a lawyer know that, but we will explain it to people, which is basically if there is a natural disaster, including a pandemic, and games are canceled, the owners don't have to pay the NBA players their full salaries.
Let me ask you this. Does the language include including a pandemic?
Yes, the worst pandemic is in there.
Really? Wow. Mm-hmm. That's a progression on a force majeure clause. I'll tell you that they look towards that. That's interesting.
Yeah, I don't know what that means, what you just said, but yes, it's true.
Yeah, most people wouldn't consider like a pandemic. They would consider a natural disaster, like an earthquake, things like that. The pandemic thing is outside the box, which was good thinking on the lawyer's part to put that in there.
Good and bad, obviously,
yes.
Depending on which end you're
on. Right, exactly.
But baseball doesn't have that. Baseball's got to pay. And they've been negotiating with players to sort of make a deal. The NFL's the same way. They got to pay the salaries. So let's leapfrog to the NFL. The NFL wants to open its training facilities. But Roger Goodell has told the teams, all 32, Jerry, for instance, I don't know if these words were actually said, Jerry, you can't open yours in Texas, even though Texas is open, until Phil Murphy, the governor of New Jersey, says they can open in Forum Park for the Jets and in East Rutherford for the Giants. And the three teams in L.A. can open once Gavin Newsom says in California you can open. So everybody's on hold until everybody can open. And nobody expects that to happen for another 60 days.
Yes. So let me ask you this, because the contingency plan that includes the best case scenario, they presume the schedule when they were supposed to. But that doesn't take into consideration the camp, which, as you just pointed out, would be iffy to start. So how does that relate to the contingency plan of the season?
Right. So if you have no camp, if you have no spring practices, and the first time you get together is some kind of training camp that's shortened in late July, early August, which would be really pushing it, then you would probably have a shorter exhibition season, probably two games instead of four. And then you would try to start the season on time. But they could push the season back. There's talk of doing that as well. Inside the league, that is a contingency. But never, in my view, the way I look at it, never believe anybody who says they're going to play a 12-game schedule instead of a 16 schedule, and there's a very specific reason why. Because of the money. We know the league is going to make less money at the gate. There are going to be fewer fans, no question. So in order to make that up, you have to play all 16 games and all the postseason games. So even if they move it back, Mike, it would mean, let's say, the NFL season were to start in October as opposed to September, then you would play the Super Bowl in the beginning of March.
Well, yeah, I mean, we can accept that, I think.
Sure.
They get a full season in there. Football is Americana, so you know, whenever it starts is good by us into the season. So, yeah, that... I'd like to see that happen as well.
Yeah, but I'm very anxious to see when these training facilities are going to open and how. I mean, it's a very delicate issue. You saw what Troy Vincent said. That, you know, they're very cognizant of the optics from a public relations standpoint. They don't want NFL players getting tested when others cannot get tested.
Yeah.
When doctors and nurses and teachers, which is something that you and I have talked about for the last two or three weeks. America has to get back to work and back to school before I think people are going to even take professional sports seriously, certainly as an entertainment thing. I mean,
I
can't imagine people going to the games if they can't go to work.
Right.
Or if their kids can't go to school, or if their kids can't play baseball, then what are we doing? You know, the first thing that has to happen is the kids have to be able to play in the park. Right now you got cops with guns stopping people from going on the beach in L.A., and cops arresting people with not enough face coverings in Central Park in New York. So I think it's a long way between here and there.
I agree. One quick thing before we let you go, your assessment of Carson Wentz, who said he was excited to have Jalen Hurts in the quarterback room. Is that a fib?
Yeah. Listen,
is he fibbing?
I love Carson Wentz. I don't think he was fibbing. I think, you know, there's a script, and you read from the script.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah, you're right. He had the script down. All right, listen, first of all.
It's like Bull Durham, you know. It's like, you know, go back to what Crash Davis.
I'm just here to help the ball club. God willing, things will take care of themselves. Yeah, I got
it's
you.
A script, Michael. You read.
Yes.
We all have a script, Michael.
That is correct.
At some point, we read from the script.
Yep. All right, last thing.
You grit your teeth and bear it, and I think Carson did the right thing by coming out and saying that. And, you know, he has no choice. And B, you know, it's the right thing to do from a team standpoint. And now he has to, right, Mike? He's got, it's one thing to say it. It's another thing to sell it.
Yep.
Sell it not only publicly, but more important, privately. Pay attention to what he does, not what he says. That's always the case when you're covering athletes and coaches.
Gotcha. By the way, thanks for the shout-out. Sal Powell on Get Up the day after we had him on here throws out the Paisan salute on Get Up. Parzetta Gargano, Missinelli. That was nice touch. Thank you.
Yeah, it's tricolor pop. Yeah.
All right, man. We'll talk to you next week. I call it pasta. 610-632-0975. No sound, awesome. We'll take all your calls here to the Mike Missinelli Show back into this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
Brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Sons. If you need a new mower, who doesn't? Zero turn or other outdoor power equipment. Paul B. Moyer and Sons has it all. Order online, paulbmoyer.com, they get great stuff. Or give them a call. They have safe contactless pickup. Just drop by their shop in Doylestown and stick it in the hatch. Natalie Eganoff, final numbers.
Thanks, Mike. Over 1,700 votes on this one today. Does social media help or hurt athletes? 17% say help. 83% say hurt.
Okay. Sounds good. Let's get as many calls as we can on this very active day of Sports Talk Radio chat. Doug is calling from San Francisco. Doug.
Mike, how are you, man?
What's going on, man?
First of all, I want to say thank you, guys. You guys give me something to look forward to, like, live to listen to every single day. So, you know. What you guys do is beyond sports, so it's awesome.
Thanks. Hey, Doug, let me ask you a question. Since you're in San Francisco, you ever heard of 24 karat golden?
No, but 24. I heard you guys talking about that, so I'm going to go look him up now.
Come on, man. He's 19. He's San Fran bred. All right.
Mike, I'm so old, man. Like, I'm not in the loop.
I got you.
You're more in the loop than I am, for sure. Hey, so quick thing about this Michael thing. Mm-hmm. One of the things I think people don't see also is, not just for the black community, but like, in terms of how it reverberates today, that his inaction, on the Senate race, as well as not speaking out against about the sneakers. Mm-hmm. I had this argument with this guy over Facebook. I know worst place, but a very intelligent guy, a guy who's very, you know, socially conscious, or he thinks he is. And I just made the comment like, you know, I wish I would see some white guys kneeling with black players at the time in the NFL. For the anthem. Mm-hmm. And he writes back, he goes on this long thing about, you know, even it took Jordan time. I was like, when did it take Jordan time? When did he ever say anything about anything, even still? Mm-hmm. And like, I hate that these kind of people like use that, whether good intended or, you know, they want to say from a athletes should stay out of politics type of thing. Mm-hmm. Like they use that instance a lot to say, well, you know, Jordan never said anything. You know, Jordan never spoke out. He just played basketball. It's like, yeah, but he could have. And there are a few guys who are just like bigger than life.
Correct.
It's Michael Jordan. It's Michael Jackson, like at the time, probably the Beatles. Like, if they say something, I have no doubt that Gantt wouldn't have won that race. Because I bet you that some white people would be like, you know what? Michael Jordan, he's my hero. I'm going to go out and vote. Like,
good point.
I'm just saying, influence-wise.
Very good point. Yeah. People are more comfortable with the status quo of Michael Jordan was the greatest basketball player ever, and I worshipped him, and they don't want to look beyond it.
I
can see that. But really, you got to do a little more thinking when it comes to this particular issue and what a man is on earth for. Kim, King of Prussia. What's up, Kim? Kim?
Hi, how are you guys?
Hello, Kim.
Hello. I want to thank you for taking my call. I sound 12, but I am an 80s baby, born in 81.
Uh-huh.
So I was a kid living in Ohio when my family members who lived in the bigger cities were talking about kids killing themselves over these Jordan sneakers and such.
Right.
And I just want to add some information to the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
So, first of all, my question is, well, to people who say that Jordan should have lowered his prices, did they ask Ralph Lauren to do that? And did they ask Tommy Hilfiger to do that?
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah, that's a good point. And maybe he didn't have to lower the prices. That's fine. They were a price point. But he also could have said something about, you know, to calm the waters a little bit, right?
He could have said something, but I just wonder, why is he being held to a higher standard?
What's a higher standard when people are getting killed over his sneakers? What standard is so high to come out and say, don't kill each other over my sneakers?
But did we ask the other? So Jordans weren't the only, those were not the only fashion items that urban kids were killing themselves over, killing each other over.
It was a main thing, though. You know it, Kim. You were alive back then.
Yeah, it was all of the name brand clothes. I don't remember Jordans being.
Your memory is faulty then because it was. it really was. It was a major national issue
about all of those clothes, not just his shoes.
No, listen, you might be right if there were some other things, but the Jordan sneaker was the top. Issue.
Yeah, it is now, and we're talking about it.
No, it isn't now. It was back then. Kim, let me ask you this. Why do you feel the need to come to his defense here?
I'm just pointing out, I feel like the argument is too skewed. And the second part of it is...
Well,
If he lowered the prices, would kids would have moved over to some other high-ticket items?
We've already been past the lowering the prices thing. What is skewed? It is what it is. Like
the argument saying that loading all this on top of him, it's such a high responsibility for him, and we don't hold up.
It's not that high of a responsibility for a guy to come out and say, don't kill each other over my shoes. Is that like, what are we asking them to do here?
And you're asking other fashion designers to do that as well.
Well, but keep going around in circles. This was the main issue on why kids were getting harmed over Jordan. It was a main issue. Now, there may have been other designer clothes, but this was the linchpin for the violence to steal shoes.
It absolutely was. And now, more recently, it's been less Jordans. There's been Gucci belts, for example. There have absolutely been people who have been killed over a Gucci belt. But who is the face of Gucci? The face of Jordans was Michael Jordan, an active athlete at the time. So it's not an apples to apples, even if they were killing, because the person didn't have, Gucci does not have the same public face as Michael Jordan did with Jordans. This isn't hard.
It's okay to recognize some warts here, right? So, okay, he didn't lower the price. He has no obligation to lower the price of the sneakers.
And I agree with that, by the way. Okay. He shouldn't have to lower the price.
And that's fair and that's fine. But you might think he might want to. It's not that big of a sacrifice for him. He faced the public every night. He was interviewed every night to say something. I just want to, you know, say a personal message out there, the kids out there. Listen, I'm Michael Jordan. I my sneakers. I know you like them. I'm glad of that. But don't be killing people over them. It's so not right.
That would have been simple.
There's a documentary now on Netflix about the construction and how the Jordans came to be. And the designer behind them. And Jordan's in it, and he talks about how they kind of became a cultural phenomenon. Mm-hmm. And he doesn't necessarily touch on that, but he talks about his input on it and everything. It's great. If like, just for the argument's sake, and he does talk about how it revolutionized things, but they never even remotely went there.
Yeah, well, they should have.
Yeah.
The same break.
Jordan's part of it.
Yeah. All right, we'll take some more calls before we get out of here. It's Mike Missinelli Show back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
Oh, we're tightening it up a little bit. Yeah. By the way, yesterday we had the two Villanova dudes on, Ryan Archidiakono and Phil Booth, and they ran that computer simulated game last night between the national championship team of 2016 and the one in 2018. And because people were asking me who won. When I had Archidiakono, I said, they're going to have to keep the game in the 60s to win. Because his team wasn't as talented as the other team.
Mm-hmm.
Son of a gun, if that didn't happen. The 2016 team won by a point in overtime. The scores were in the 60s.
It was in the 60s.
Now, and get this. Mikal Bridges, cousin of our own Devon Givens, steps to the line. And he needs two free throws to tie it. He misses the second one, and the 2016 wins it. And here's the caveat. The guy that programmed it, and that Archiaga was talking about on the show yesterday, was on the 2016 team. So he was the programmer. I smell fish.
So they had a bunch of the guys. It was really cool. They had like 12 of the players, maybe more, talking all of, like watching it and talking, commenting on it, mad when they missed shots.
Yeah.
And they started throwing him under the bus later in the game. I wouldn't have missed that. Come on, I'm missing all these layups. I wouldn't have missed that.
Smells like a fish.
Yeah, so, and they said nothing settled, and they say now they have some big day, alumni day at Nova, assuming they'll be able to have it. And now they're talking about actually playing. Like playing against each other.
That sounded like that movie with Kurt Russell and Robin Williams. Where they relived the game.
I didn't see that.
Yeah, what was that called?
I didn't see it.
Because something happened in the game. It was an error, and Robin Williams had a chance to relive the game and change his whole life.
Got a bunch of NBA players talking about playing again. Because they'll do it in a closed gym.
Yes, they will. Jerome in West Philly. What's up, Jerome? How you doing?
Eminem, what's going on, man?
Good, man. How you doing?
I'm doing all right. Hey, look, first of all, I'm going to start out with a little joke. Hey, tell Stallworth from West Philly, I need some payback on my M&Ms I need some, what they call that, when you sort of, when you, reimburse somebody for their statements, I need about 20,000. No, but look, coming from, living in North Carolina, we're going to have this conversation a little later when I got more time. I got more time.
Yeah.
There's so much racism going on, Mike, down there. And back then, it was even worse. So, Jordan, the man, I can't defend that.
Mm-hmm.
I can only defend the basketball player because I agree with you. If he'd have said something, because, I mean, they still have KKK parades, Mike, still to this day. I mean, I've actually seen it for myself live. So it's no way of getting rid of it. And even if he voted the guy, and even if the guy got in, it was still going to be the same because you got mayors in different sections that's just as racist as the guy that won.
Yeah, I get it, but that's not the point. You know, point is that you're a high profile dude. Your mother's urging you to do something. And he thought of what? His pocketbook first? That doesn't resonate with me. I'm sorry.
And you know why his mom was urging him? Because she has lived through a lot
of
that racism.
Exactly.
And my mom did too. And believe me, I know exactly what you're talking about. And you're absolutely right. He should have stepped up and said something. And I have no knock on that. Mm-hmm. But what I'm going to say is this before I go. When Kobe passed away, mm-hmm. y'all brought up the stuff that he did. Now you're bringing up the stuff that Mike did. Now when 23 retires, because I know he's like, you and Tyrone's guy, this is why I hate this fool. I know it's something that is going to come out that he did. I just want to make sure y'all bring that to light.
Yeah, nothing's going to come out. And if it does, I'll bring it to light because I criticize LeBron over the China thing. So, listen, I don't get involved. Here's the thing you got to know about me. I don't get involved in athlete worship, right? I call it the way I see it. I recognize the greatness in particular athlete, but I don't get personally involved in them where I'm going to fight for somebody if they did wrong. Right, it's just not me. The movie was The Best of Times, Tyrone.
Yeah, I didn't see the
Married Banker,
time.
Jack Dundee, played by Robin Williams, lived his life regretting a botched play he made in a high school football game. He dropped a pass from his friend Reno Hightower, the quarterback, who was Kurt Russell.
Oh.
And he hatched a plan to reunite the players to play the game.
Again. Probably dropped it again.
Because he felt like he was not respected by his wife because he was the loser who dropped the pass his whole life.
Get a new wife.
No, it was just in his mind.
Oh, all right.
He had the self-hate over it.
I got you.
All right, let's go. Saeed on the cell. Saeed, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Mike, what's going on, Mike?
What's up, Saeed?
Listen, man, kudos to you, man, for giving people an opportunity to get their opinions on such a controversial issue, especially as it relates to race and sports, man.
Well, I always try to do that, man. So yeah.
I know. That's why I love you, man. That's why you get so much support from Philly, man. But listen, I'm not going to give my opinion of Jordan. It took me too long. But I will say this. I don't expect everybody to have Colin Kaepernick courage. Like, I don't expect every athlete, every black athlete, every black entertainer to have Colin Kaepernick courage. I really don't. But I did want to mention this. I think the issue with Dak Prescott not being signed has a lot to do with race, but the owner isn't a racist. I believe Roger Goodell stating we moved on from Colin Kaepernick, 9 times out of 10 is something that a racist would say, but Roger Goodell isn't a racist. So again, man, it's a thin line. It's a fine line between some of the issues that I guess we discussed when it relates to sports.
What? Yeah, I mean, listen, I get you. I don't know exactly how this is relating to the Michael Jordan and the North Carolina election. Saeed, are you there? I guess Saeed hung up. I don't know what happened there. Let's go quickly. Demetrius and Penn Salkin. Go ahead, Demetrius.
Hey, what's going on?
Got about 30 seconds, Demetrius.
Yeah, I just wanted to get it in real quick. Mm-hmm. Listen, I grew up in one of the worst cities in America, and I've seen firsthand what those sneakers do. I've watched people get jumped and beaten up and their sneakers taken. So Michael Jordan, like, he should have came out. And I was kind of disappointed watching the documentary that he didn't come out and say something about that.
Yeah, it wouldn't have been that much of a hardship to just... He's in front of, look, you see in the documentary all the press that's there nightly for him. He's got to be pressed. There's like 100 people there. Like, you know, so get the message out. You know, it wasn't that hard.
The whole thing is like Michael Jordan is on the same level as influence in like the hood as hip hop is. He's on that same level. So people would have listened and people would have gravitated towards that. Like, and it's just disappointed that.
Yeah, I appreciate Demetrius. Thanks for your views. You know, it's not a matter like imparting your. This is just like objective speaking. You know, like what's the right thing to do objectively? It's not like. Anyway, Devon is not in tonight, so he's probably off tonight lamenting the fact that that Mikal Bridges missed the free throw. In any event, Joe Torti. We'll be in tonight on 97.5 The Fanatic on NBC Sports Philadelphia, Lunch Talk Live, and the Phillies Mets from last June 25th. So everybody have a great night. Be safe. Tomorrow, General Knowledge Wednesday. We'll talk to you then.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.